SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
With the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, the best hour of your day is now officially underway. It's a Thursday morning, and we are ready to go right here on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside, and it's Kevin Walsh. And my goodness, the hot topics are flowing all the way through. We're going to cover just about every single sport, because some things I saw yesterday that actually took place, Kevin, were utterly ridiculous. And I'm talking Olympic sports. We saw a Subway Series that is now being dominated by the New York Metropolitans, and much, much more. Joe Burrow's hairstyle. I don't know what's going on out in these streets, but it is what it is, Kev. We're here for a Thursday and ready to let it rip.
Yeah, 100%. Although you alluded to what should be topics 1, 2, 3. Listen, if we get to anything other than how Olympic soccer began yesterday, we're probably doing a bad job. Sometimes, see again, I've been doing shows with now a good bit, and sometimes certain topics come across the table, and I'd be like, "Ooh, man, Donnie's gonna love that one."
Yeah,
sometimes I ratchet up and I go, man, Donnie's going to have the absolute appropriate take on this, and I got to just make sure I have his back. Because what happened yesterday in the opening day of the Olympics was basically a big, blaring billboard that said, hey, do not bother with the Olympics. Don't waste your time. Go see if you can find a summer league replay. Take it seriously.
I'm telling you right now, I didn't watch the game, but when I caught the fallout, you know what I have to do, Kevin, is get involved in that fallout right away. And I said this morning because you'll like this. I'm telling you, you're going to like this story because I brought it up today. We had somebody on today, Kyle Bond, to talk about what was going on here and what he thought about it. He goes, you know what the interesting part of this was? It wasn't necessarily the fact that the game ended and everybody was angry. We'll get to that in a second. But how about this for having that backhand knowledge here? He's like, well, what did the sports book do? Like, because technically they went final, so the sports books actually had to pay that out and then maybe go back in for refunds, which is always a fun thing. Trust me, I've had that before. A Draymond Green rebound, which was about $700, $800 on a parlay, was taken back out of my account the next day. So I've been there, done that before. But how about this, Kevin? Did you know this? February of 2020, Lee Acora Center, and this is back when Temple's actually decent. Temple, in double overtime, beat the UConn Huskies. I want to say the score was in the 90s, like, I don't know, close game, 95, 90, something like, whatever it was. But it was February of 2020, right before COVID hit. It was a double overtime game. I used to do data input for a certain company, which, again, gets filtered down to books and information outlets. The game goes to double overtime, but I didn't understand how to continue it into double overtime from an overtime period. So I shut down the manual itself, trying to think I was going to the next page, when then it alerted that the game was over when the game wasn't over. So I understand how mistakes can be made and you can't do this, but that was a user error on my part. We weren't conflicted with the game itself, Temple and UConn going like, well, that game shouldn't have been double overtime. That's ridiculous. No, this game actually closed. You felt you got paid, and an hour and a half later, when you're trying to spend your money, lost your money because the game got taken back with a goal that was offsides, that wasn't offsides. It's a questionable call. How does this actually make it? Like, did they make up the rules by themselves at that point? My goodness.
Great point. Great question. Appropriate question. Answer has to be yes. So here, the worst part is, it's with 16 minutes of extra time. Donnie, yes, I know, listen, love, are we both soccer guys? I mean, it all depends, but we're soccer guys enough to know that 16 minutes of extra time is not how this works. There are some questions that need to be answered now if we're doing 16 minutes of extra time. And I believe the Argentina goal. I mean, Donnie, of the 16 minutes of extra time, how many did they need to score? Like all 16 of them, basically? Mm-hmm. So right away, you have major question marks kind of popping off of the page there. But this VAR system is pretty simple, right? You go, hey, listen, we're not sure. Go check it. And maybe it'll take a little bit longer than you want, but it won't take all that long. People who love soccer football, they don't hate VAR because it takes 6 hours. They hate VAR because they never had a replay system like this in soccer, and they just don't want that, what they feel is unnecessary change. Again, fair enough. In what world does an official, 2 hours after a game has been finalized, think to himself, man, we should probably double-check that goal, fellas. I got to be honest with you. Just as I'm sitting here thinking to myself, maybe that guy was offside. Like, why was the VAR system even still, like, active? I don't understand. Donnie, what really happened.
Like, it really, like, when you buy into these stereotypes of they're trying to fix it, right? It's like, look, we got to get Argentina to move forward. Like, this is going to be big for our ratings. And they flap up their 15 minutes. Now, if you are the other fan base, what are you looking for at the end of the game? Like, I know there's going to be extra time. We have the lead. Maybe it's going to be 5, maybe 6 minutes we can hold on. The minute that they popped 15 up, like, again, I didn't watch the game live, but I imagine there was a rumble going along that stadium that goes, are you kidding me at this point? But we also had, you know, we were talking soccer with our guest on this morning. That was the first topic that came up. I had to like almost like intercede, like, wait, you're right. Like, I forgot about that for a second. I saw the 15 minutes pop up and my head almost popped. Like, can imagine that? Because so many times where you bet soccer yourself, like, I need a goal in the first half. And they did it to me in the previous game, which I think was maybe a Spain game where Spain scored like 1 minute in the second half. Because of course they did. But they only gave them one minute.
The Euro final.
Yes, 1 minute of extra time in the first half. Like, right. 15 minutes they're tacking on here to make sure somebody gets in. But I thought it was an appropriate way to start, where some things that I don't expect to get me angry, like under 23 soccer in the Olympics as opposed to the World Cup or the Euro, really got me like set off on my way. Like, I have to talk about this because I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Again, like, unless like, you know, I don't know, that we had 800 people on the field like before the matter, right?
Yeah.
Like, what could have possibly happened to get 15 minutes of extra time?
It's like, people would, were like, because streakers on the field and stuff. Like, it was must have been like, where was the actual, you know, security in that state?
But wasn't that somewhat after the fact kind of story, or was that like
throughout
the whole game? Well, so here's the other problem that seems to exist with this situation. I'm sure you're, again, you know, like me, loosely familiar with the situation. But Argentina won Copa America, and then started to, you know, kind of, you know, Instagram teams sing the song. And unfortunately, that song is somewhat racist. And players on Argentina had to send out apologies. But it was specifically racist towards France and like Kylian Mbappe. And now Argentina's soccer team is in France.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have issues in any game they play. Like, I don't, can you listen? Argentina, you lost to Morocco, you just forfeit the rest of the games, pack it up, go home. You won Copa America, you're not winning gold, let's just call it a day.
Yeah, and that's probably the way they were looking at it, but it's just, it's like, it's such an interesting thing, like, hey, we're going to play for the Olympics, but, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. I even said to myself, like, you know what, like, forget the VAR that comes in late. I said this, Kevin, in Olympics, no, how about no offsides? How about just no offsides in the whole tournament? Like, we don't need VAR. Just play wherever you want, do whatever you want. Obviously, you know, you can't have your best players in, which is crazy, which brings me up to the next topic, which I'm going to hammer. And I want to see if you agree with me, because this topic came up on the early line. Team USA men's soccer, we stink at the regular level, we stink at the under level, we stink at the, like, younger levels. What is the deal with U.S. soccer? A lot more hot topics. Stay right here. It's Moneyline on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cash rules everything around me. Dollar bill, y'all. Absolutely. We're going to make some money today. Major League Baseball. Let's do a schedule all the way through today. It's real afternoon baseball, as we saw yesterday. Tough scene for the New York Yankees getting handled by the New York Metropolitans. But then you saw the Marlins handling the Baltimore Orioles. That's not going to be the place today. You look at a $3 price on the Baltimore Orioles today to handle Miami. And I do think they will. Worst pitcher on the card is for Miami today. One of the better pitchers on the card today for Baltimore. But as I teased before the break here, Kevin, taking a look at Team USA Soccer, the men's side. When do we just cancel it? Is it done? Are we done with it? Like, when is it over?
It's so interesting though. But basically for you, if they're not going to be competitive at a high level, there's just no point in having a team. I mean, is that kind of the vibe there for you?
Yes.
Because I don't know. I mean, I get it. It can't be the only sport that we're non-competitive at. I guess it's the only, quote, major sport. But that's because we don't have our pro league pales in such comparison. Or is it because you're confused as to why the women good and the men are not, which is valid?
Correct. Well, I understand, and I'll even admit, like, there's a tweet right now come back to me from Charles. It says, the problem with American soccer is all the best athletes play other sports. In other countries, their best athletes play soccer. I sort of understand that. But also at the same time, the women, there's a lot of sports that women play here in the United States. It's not just soccer, and we dominate. And also, sometimes you're taking a look at countries, and I don't have the demographics up in front of me, Kevin, but let's just take a look at Belgium. I'm pretty sure, like, we quadruple 30 times the amount of population in this country. So if some of our best athletes are playing other sports, shouldn't there be plenty left alone to beat a team like Belgium? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I think what basically the point would be, Donnie, we're not. At Copa America, right, we had top five odds. So who? Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Uruguay, and then, like, we probably had top five odds at Copa America. So think about that, right? Donnie, like, we aren't a bottom feeder, but we are not high level. We are average to below average. It depends on the year, right? I mean, we're probably, you know, I guess give or take average. I mean, through the world rankings, maybe a tick above average, you know? But I think that's, I understand sometimes maybe DRS why it comes off like we are awful, right? But we aren't. We're just not Spain, Argentina, France. And again, it's kind of crazy to think we would be. Now, we should have done much better at Copa America, right? But you want to know what the odd one is, Donnie, is trying to figure out this new coach. And about none of the names people really want are American. Like, that seems to be a bit of an issue, that there's still not enough foundation within the country. And I know that other nations at times have coaches who aren't from that nation, but no, it's rarer than it is common. But that seems to be an issue, that they still don't have the foundation set enough when they're trying to find out who's going to be, you know, the coach for the team, that this is kind of the way the process then goes.
Yeah, no, and again, it's just, it's a whole, like, it's been 40 years where, when I say, like, again, not the U.S. is not the team, the men's side, well, why do you even show up? You guys get beat 13-0 every game. Like, it's not that bad, and I understand it, but once in a while, do something. Like, just do something. And for the trajectory of, like, because we've always brought, and you're younger than I am, and it used to be back in, like, the 70s and 80s. Now, granted, I was just born in the 70s, so it wasn't factoring into anything. Like, oh, soccer is going to take complete control of the United States. And if you look at the numbers, Kevin, we say, like, our best athletes play basketball and football. But more kids are playing soccer than any other sport in this country. There's hundreds. Like, let's just say there's tens of millions of kids playing soccer in this country. And we can't even, like, factor into tournaments.
That's the only thing I'm asking because, Argentina is good. Okay, I understand, but 350 million people in the United States, and if you say the leading sports category of our kids, and it's been this way for a long time, is soccer, why do we stink every year?
I would say, though, look, and I'm only just going to use the most recent example, Donnie. Yeah. We disappointed at Copa America. We were supposed to factor in. Like, we were supposed to make that knockout round. And, again, just if you think back to it, right, a team like, who's a team that kind of made the knockout round and then Brazil. I mean, right? Like, I mean, think about how short of expectations Brazil fell ultimately. Like, they made the knockout stage, but were eliminated ultimately by Uruguay in that game. So, I get what you're saying, but if you really do think about it, and sometimes it's just kind of where the, people get involved at a young age, right? When you were young, I'm talking like elementary school, which sports did you play? Because I never played soccer.
I did. When I was younger, I started out in football. Like, I think it was my first football season, Kevin. I was like maybe 5 or 6 years old. I played for a couple years, but I moved towns to a town that didn't have football. So I only played soccer from, like, let's just say 5th grade through 8th grade. I played soccer. Then obviously when I went to high school, we had a football team. So I played football at high school and then in college. But, like, you look at the numbers now, and again, there used to be a time in the country where not a lot of people played soccer. It was always football where the kids played or, baseball. But you can see the numbers now. And that's why, because there would be a same, relegation, soccer term, between women's soccer and men's soccer. It's like, we just think on both sides. But the women are astoundingly good. And again, if that same thing is like, well, our best athletes are playing, is that the case? I look at the WNBA. It looks like our best athletes are actually playing in the WNBA at this point.
Well, here's interesting thing, though. The women's have come way back to the pack. And I wonder if there is a correlation there, Donnie. I have no idea. But I wonder if there is some type of correlation because the women's team, while favorites, it's not the 8-0s, 9-0s that people started to associate that team with, right?
Yeah. Is what it is, people. Just is what it is. As we head out to commercial break, a lot more fun to be had right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline on a Thursday morning. It's Donnie and Kevin. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, people. Back in the mix. It's the morning right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie and Kevin, and we are rocking and rolling here. A lot of hot topics to get to, ripping into Olympic soccer and why is Team USA so bad. But we got so many other topics here that we got to get to that really need our attention. And one of those is, what's up with the San Francisco 49ers? What's up with Trent Williams saying, you know what, I don't even feel like practicing now because I want to be paid more money. Brandon Ayuk, he wants more money at this point. Next year, we know their quarterback is going to reset the market $50-plus million if Brock Purdy has a decent season this year. Are we worried about the San Francisco 49ers in any way, shape, or form right now, Kevin?
Yes, right? And it's relative, but they are the contender that has the most questions about important players on the roster, right? Mm-hmm. I guess Dallas would be the other, but Cincinnati has Chase isn't even holding out. Higgins showed up insane. CeeDee Lamb's going to hold out, but we all expect him to be paid. Jordan Love essentially seems like he was told not to practice by the front office, not even his agency. They're all kind of seems to be kumbaya. So, the Niners, right? And we kind of was wondering what was going to happen with Ayuk, and then you add Trent Williams to it, right?
Yeah.
And if Trent Williams part of it is probably a bigger deal than the Brandon Ayuk side of the whole thing. I saw you tweet about this. Also, Miami pop, great. That's not what you want, right? And now that's one of those injuries that it's July 25th. case, and I hope this is the case, but if on October 25th we're talking about a Pearsall hamstring injury, don't be surprised. Deebo Samuel's not, you know, the, you know, healthiest when it comes to, you know, staying on the field, right? Deebo feels like a guy you expect to miss 3 to 4 weeks. But I don't really get the problem I have with how, what panic button are we at, right? Is I don't know if the Niners players are going to put enough pressure on the organization to force either a contract or trade, where the Niners might be able to just basically outweigh these guys and then get what they want, which is them out there on the current deals that they have them on.
Let me ask you this question. I know it's kind of crazy, and normally the answer is going to be, you know, the right answer. But Brock Purdy, like, I'm just looking at ESPN's front page right now. It says, extend Brock Purdy $325 million plus or keep the core together. Is there a part of Kyle Shanahan that goes, I think I can make any quarterback that's decent be a really good quarterback in this NFL, so I'm just going to pass on Brock Purdy and blow this up because I think I can get another quarterback that's young that can do similar things? Or am I crazy to think that?
So I think that was an argument for me with McVay and Goff, where I felt, man, I'm not sure they should pay Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Because we feel that Sean McVay can get the most out of any player. And what they ultimately did was pay Goff tough. They got Stafford in. They won at a high level, right? You know, McVay maybe never necessarily proved as much with a low-level guy as we saw proven by Shanahan with a number of guys. So I think there's a valid argument to be made, Donnie, that they shouldn't overextend to bring Brock Purdy in. But that's where Kyle Shanahan has to be honest with himself, right? I feel like that the answer to that question should be nobody's other than Kyle, because he should know how much of this is Brock, and he'll never say this out publicly, right? How much of this is Brock? And how much of this is me? Because here's the one thing that Donnie and I have kind of always tried to tell people, you know, Garoppolo, is for the people who think that Garoppolo was good enough, you know who didn't believe that? Shanahan.
Yeah.
Because he went out there, gave up a billion picks so he can go and try and bring in Trey Lance. Kyle Shanahan wants an elite quarterback. He is mind of, I can make anybody an elite quarterback. He wants an elite quarterback. Does he believe Brock Purdy is one? That's the question.
And Brock Purdy always gets slighted too, and wrongful because of where he was drafted number one, but also his stature, because you don't see the, I'm about to run a 4.3 40. I'm 6'5", 250 pounds. Watch me flick my wrist and throw a 40-yard rope to the outside here like a Patrick Mahomes could do. But it's just interesting to see now.
He gets slandered because of the Garoppolo comparisons, because we all know Garoppolo wasn't that good. So we just then put the same label on Brock Purdy. Like, oh, come on, he made Jimmy look competent. That's got to be the story here with Brock.
Yeah. Interesting times, man. Just one that, you know, Brock Purdy, who was making like $1 million a year, is going to come up to 55 plus starting next year, is wild. More quarterback talks heading into training camp, not practicing. Let's talk about it next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some people like to have a staycation over the summer month. And when we talk about staycations, typically quarterbacks like to be in camp. Most quarterbacks are in camp. They're ready to go. We're going to take a look to see if Jordan Love is going to get a new contract, but that's not the guy I want to talk about right now. That guy I want to talk about right now, Tua Tagovailoa. In camp, seems to be we're getting closer and closer and closer to him actually getting a new contract, but haven't gotten it yet. Here's the issue. Brought this up many times. Do I like Tua as a quarterback? Absolutely, I do. But if you're the Miami Dolphins franchise, Kevin, were you better off, and it sounds crazy to say, that Tua Tagovailoa would have gotten a concussion last year and you could finally be done with him and move on? Or Tua plays well in the regular season last year, stays healthy, now you're at the end of the rope where you got to decide to make him one of the highest paid players in the history of the game, knowing that those concussions could creep up at any time. How about it?
I don't worry about the concussions with Tua. I just worry about whether or not he's good enough. You know, again, it's so interesting, but we spend a lot of time wondering how Brady is a creation of his situation. Let's not pretend. The situation is incredible. Debo, Ayuk, Kittle, McCaffrey, Shanahan. But the difference between Brock Purdy and Tua is pedigree, and pedigree matters, right? Mr. Irrelevant versus a fifth overall draft selection. But Tua's situation of Waddle, Hill, McDaniel, Raheem Mostert last year had, what, 20 rushing touchdowns? Do you think that's because Raheem Mostert is an underrated top five running back in football? No, I don't believe so, at least. So, again, if I'm the Dolphins, Donnie, I just wanted to see if I left the game feeling like I could trust Tua Tagovailoa. And, man, I can't believe that they're going to march forward. Where one of the main complaints about the player, beating Tua, of course, is, oh, he doesn't have a very strong arm. While this team just runs bombers down the sidelines and Waddle and Hill, this team could probably afford to take a step back in certain areas of the position and make up for it all with just strength, right, in arm. So I don't know. I think that's another situation, Donnie, where if you're the Dolphins, man, Burrow's been paid, Hurts been paid, Tua's just sitting right there. Now, again, maybe they're as concerned as you are about the concussions. I think it's about what we've seen on the field. And they probably feel not only like it's not – Mike McDaniel, I guess, probably another way to put this. So I think is more likely to say, no, I don't need this guy than Kyle Shanahan is. I think McDaniel's a little gutsier.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it plays out because it looks like, obviously, he would not be in camp. And the same thing with Jordan Love. They're not showing up to camp like, hey, you know what? My ownership group told me I'm not getting a deal, so I'm just going to play this out. They're going to get paid, which is going to be interesting to find out. And people are going to get upset when they see the numbers. Like, Trevor Lawrence, he's not worth being the highest paid quarterback of all time. Yeah, he is, because he's a young quarterback, a franchise guy. That's when he came up in line. It'd be interesting to see what those numbers finally look out. And some of the things that I was talking about this morning on the early line were, for me, it's not so much about Tua Tagovailoa and what he provides on the field, but that language in the contract. Because you know what hurts now? If Tua had gotten hurt last year, okay, he's only under contract for this year. We're not going to have any dead cap money after this. You sign him to a five-year, $275 million extension with $175 million in guarantees, and game three, Kevin, he starts concussion issues again. The NFL doesn't come in and say, you know what? You're bad, I understand, but we're going to wipe that off the books because he can't play anymore. Now, like, no, you would be under contract for four more years and that massive dead cap hit that would take place. Because when you talk about Jordan Love, if he doesn't work out, we don't think it's going to be because of concussions or injury. It's just because maybe he's not a good quarterback and that filters out over the next couple of years. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be one, but it's a different sort of language in your contract because how is that going to land? Tua's not going to accept anything less or say, you know what, Tua? We'll sign you to $275, $175 million in guarantees. Just on page 100, can you initial that says if you get a concussion, we're not going to pay a single dime after that? That's what the legalities are going to start to turn out to be for him. But I like Tua in that offense here. And since he's in camp, I do think it's going to come close. I'm just waiting for those numbers. Now, let me ask you this question. Who's first? Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, that's going to be signed here.
Jordan Love, I don't know why that deal's not already done. I don't know what they're haggling over. Again, they seem to be in a very good space, Love and the Packers. But can I ask you something? Because you mentioned the Trevor Lawrence thing. And I get your point, right? First overall draft selection, they're invested in the kid. If you're going to pay him, you have to go top dollar. But I think everybody knows that having a quarterback on a cheap rookie deal is basically the second most valuable thing to having Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, right?
Correct.
If we look around the league. So if you're going to sacrifice the quarterback contract and again, the value of it being on that rookie deal, I feel like we have to just evaluate it a little bit better than the way we, like, if you were, and I know this isn't a perfect one for one, but basically it's like, hey, you have Trevor Lawrence on the deal that he's on, or the deal he's about to be on, or you could pick up Bryce Young. Which would you rather? And I think a lot of people, come on, Trevor Lawrence. Bryce Young's terrible. Kid's awful. Trevor Lawrence, what a No. I'll take Bryce Young. Contracts are the deciding factor there for me, Donnie. But I would take Bryce Young. I mean, we just watched, what, five quarterbacks go in round one. Everybody always says, oh, man, there's not enough quarterbacks. Remember when I was beating down the door saying that the Giants would have been better off starting Tyrod Taylor instead of paying Daniel Jones, and then they went out there and we saw Tyler be better than Daniel Jones flatly? Imagine they were able to then push that money around. Oh, you know what? All of a sudden, you wouldn't have Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia, you know, which that front office was completely, you know, horrified of ended up happening, and that's what happened. So, I don't know. Don't you think some of these teams should be a little more willing to not pay these quarterbacks?
No, and that was the initial thought process with, like, if there was one team that could say right now, boy, you give me this Ferrari, I can just make a young quarterback happen. And it did happen. It was, we went out and tried to get Trey Lance. That didn't work out. But, boy, we drafted Brock Purdy, last man in the draft itself, and he looks like he could be an all-pro player. I'm not saying you can continue to find that lightning in a bottle, but if you tell me, well, would you rather have Brock Purdy, the highest-paid quarterback in the history of the sport, or let me just work with a veteran that's going to count like $9 million to get to my cap and I can get that same sort of results out. And it's not fair to do that to Brock Purdy, but I just look at that organization, that play caller, and I just think that if they made that lightning in a bottle once, they can probably just take an even more pedigree guy and do some similar things with him. Because then you sign Brock Purdy, then you can't afford Debo, then you can't afford Ayuk, then you can't afford a left tackle. Sure, you're going to keep a lot of your players, but you sort of get restrained by that salary cap, which now you have, hey, Brock Purdy's playing at a Pro Bowl level. He counts $900,000 against our cap, jumps it to 55. That's a big difference in your salary cap pie that you have. That's what they're trying to weigh at this point. So I do think it'll be interesting to see how some of these quarterback situations do work out at that point. But Brock Purdy was the one that I look at. It's like, could he be replaced? He probably, look, it's so unfair to do it to him, but there's a reason why these arguments always keep coming up. Shanahan's a genius. He did it once. Look at Brock Purdy. And again, it was like, hey, I found the 6'6 quarterback that was undrafted that had turned into an all-pro. Like, you found a tiny there that's doing a lot of things, and some people are questioning if he's a system quarterback. Once again, not fair to Brock Purdy, but those questions are always certainly going to be out there at this time. Now, after the break here, Kev, we're going to take a look at that NBA media deal, which apparently now looks that TNT is not going to get it. Am I upset by it? A little bit. But I want to ask you another question based on that and where the future of these media deals are going, both NFL and NBA with those rights and stuff, because I got some interesting takes on this, and I think I'm not alone at this point. We need more basketball. Yes, we do. Easier to watch. I don't know if that's going to be the point of this year. We'll be right back. It's a Thursday morning edition of Moneyline. Right side of Kevin Walsh right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right. Moneyline, what do you say, folks? Live here on a Thursday morning. All right, it's morning. Beautiful. Nice transition. Clean. Donnie made this point the other day with the move. Makes it a little easier now. I mean, this isn't, you know, this is after video. It's not, see, the real tricky one, Donnie, is when I'm doing the weekends, right? And I'll welcome someone Saturday morning. And then by the time it's noon, I'm like, we're here on a noontime Saturday. I don't know. It really, really throws me off.
Yeah, sometimes it's tough, man. You got to be quick on your feet. You got to be thinking around here as we work through some tech difficulties, inside, outside, internet. So it'll get better, but that's always happens when you have some changes to the environment, new time here. That's not what the issue is. We're working through some new equipment. We'll get it right. It'll be popping. Of course it will. You know it will. The topic's always going to be popping. Let me talk about this next popping topic. I'm the common man, Kevin. When I say to the people out there, I have their best interests in heart and I've lived it before, it's usually true at this point. When I see the NBA with their new broadcasting rights. A lot of money. Players are going to make a ton of money. They're going to love that. Fantastic. Love it. Inside the NBA, which I like the show, but I'm going to tell you right now, I could lie to you and say, like, if that goes away, I'm never going to watch the NBA again. To be honest, I don't care, to be honest. If it's on, I'll watch it. I get some good laughs. But if I never see it again, it's really not that big of an impact to me. Here's what the impact is. Cool. And here's where the path we're going down. Talked about this with Ben a little bit here today. And here's what I say, Kevin. It's not so much that, let's just say, Amazon gets the rights here. Because I don't really care who has the rights. But it's a lot easier for me when I get home or I'm just relaxing. I'm laying in my bed and I put the TV on. And sometimes I don't even have the game in mind. And I scroll through. Channel 3, Channel 6, Channel 10, Fox, ESPN, Fox Sports 1. Eventually you make your way down. You find a game, you settle on it, and you relax. I am never, and I can't be alone here, Kevin, on a random Thursday in the month of February where they have the Orlando Magic and the New York Knicks playing on, let's just say, Amazon. I'll never watch that game. Not because I don't want to, because I'm not logging into my Amazon account to go in there and watch that basketball game. But, Kevin, if it was on TNT, Fox, NBC, I would stumble on it and probably watch at least a few minutes of it.
So I'm not going to say that you're alone in that, right? There are a percentage of people who will be completely turned off by this. There are also, though, we know, Donnie, plenty of people who just work on streaming packages. And for them, bouncing around from app to app to app isn't abnormal. And for people that will go on Amazon, I believe their thought is, especially when they get a big game, Donnie, is going to be, man, this is going to be easily accessible to everybody. You know, I don't know if the number came out, but that Kendrick Lamar concert that was streamed on Amazon, I mean, it did unbelievably well, right? And some of that was the accessibility for people. It's because, you know, kind of everybody has it. I think what's going to be important, Donnie, this is kind of was always true, is they have to make sure that they make the games feel big. Otherwise, right. Kings Pacers. Yeah, you know what? Let's see what's going on here. If I can just, you know, put a TV show on. Let's do, you know, $1 million listing or something like that. But, Donnie, if the Lakers and Nuggets are on Amazon, I don't think they're going to hand wave the game. If you're up and watching it, I don't think they're going to ignore it.
But I from that point of view, because when you say, well, Donnie, the NFL does, I get it. The NFL is a little bit different of a critique. Hey, Monday Night Football is going to be on Amazon. Like the only way to, or Thursday Night Football, let's just say, is on Amazon. Of course, I'm going to log into Amazon. But you know what I also get pissed off about, too, is when I want to change the channel, if I'm just watching again upstairs on my big TV, I have to go log back into my account, which I think is awful. And I know it doesn't work like this, but if you would have told me, because you just don't like it, Donnie, on Amazon. That's not the case here. Because if Amazon was a cable television network that you had to pay extra for, but it was on my cable, I wouldn't have any issues with it at all, Kevin. I know it's not going to work. It's never going to happen. But that's my comeback to that, saying if channel, like for me, HBO on Xfinity is channel 300, right? If channel 300 on my network now started to be Netflix or Amazon, I would be on there routinely watching it here and Amazon would have it. I just don't want to say I'm going to go out of my way to watch a game I probably wouldn't watch. Like, let's just say Logan Paul's fighting or Mike Tyson's fighting or the Super Bowl's on. Of course we're logging into that. But just for like something I'm going to stumble on, I just think it hurts long term in the NBA overall for visibility. But they don't care. They're getting paid at that point. And I learned a hard lesson this year going like, man, I look at these ratings. They're all down. The NBA goes, yeah, watch these numbers come out. It's not about ratings anymore. So it's really not.
Well, because when you bring in the streaming platforms, those things aren't as factored in, right? But also, Donnie, I think they believe being on streaming is better for long-term visibility, right? They figure, I mean, listen, they're going to get, they believe at least they're going to get monster audiences for those NBC games, and they probably will. And they think that having a streaming platform will help a lot. But you know what's funny? This is probably more of a life thing, but you have cable, right? You're watching your show, commercial hits. Yeah. Remote change. For me, correct. Watching the show, commercial hits, phone, scroll.
And that's kind of the difference there. And I'll, and really, though, again, the why I say this is more of a life thing, that's not good. Like, I'd be better off change, or honestly just sitting there watching the stupid L'Oreal and Taco Bell commercials than me grabbing my phone every single time the game or show I'm watching hits commercial break. I don't watch. I watched a movie, Donnie. I actually watched for the first time, Two for the Money, the other night with my brother. We had to watch it off Tubi, though. And it had commercials in it.
Yeah, it did.
Right? Like, 2-minute commercials, like, five times. I picked my phone up every single time. I picked it up every single time. That's probably not a good thing. That's probably not a great thing.
Well, that's usually me anyway at this point. But I got to tell you this. Do you do this, by the way? Because I'll take a stance against me scrolling through things. And I obviously come across like paywalls. Like, hey, you know what? Check out this player rating. Now, I have ESPN Plus, so I'll get all that stuff. But it's like a random paper article. You've run out of your 5 free articles in the month. Now, I understand there is ways to get around it, but just hear me out on this, as Kevin will take us out to break.
Oh, wait a minute now. We'll tee it up and we'll knock it down exactly how we intended. On Moneyline on a Thursday morning, folks. Cup of coffee and Moneyline. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, had to catch myself. Just got an Instagram DM that a combination will be happening of a great Italian deli out here by me. Donnie, maybe you've heard of it. Lavoti.
Really, what is really it? Good Give stuff. Me a, can I get a sandwich there?
Italian, yeah, you can. Italian gourmet deli. They do the cold cuts. They do the fresh mutts. I think you would approve. You would approve. I tell you this, it's the type of place, Donnie, I would go in and be horrified to mention having mayo on the sandwich. They're going to do a combination with Burger 25, which, again, I don't know if you're familiar with, that Tom's River LBI, from my understanding. Mm. But apparently, it looks like they're going to be incorporating the Lavoti's fresh mozzarella and Burger 25 burgers. Wow. So it looks like a situation could be unraveling. So that's where my mind was as we come back from break.
Now, I forget what towns you said right there, but are you familiar with any one of those towns in there? Like, are you from around there? You know? Maybe, get that local flavor. Yeah, maybe a little local flavor in there. Trade deadline is coming up in Major League Baseball, but before I get there, like, some things that have popped across my screen. And you have an angle here to a wrestling outlet of a higher-up gentleman. There's a guy out here right now cutting another promo this morning, and I think he's in his late 70s. He can still do it. I'm just saying, if you have the ear of certain wrestling guys, Hulk Hogan now is at the Detroit Lions camp cutting promos with Dan Campbell. Come on. Yep.
Well, I mean, realistically, I think he still does all the WWE stuff. I think he's still, I don't think that's really on the board. Did you see anything from AEW last night? We had a sweet chair shot. Come on.
Yeah, first time in a long time. I didn't watch a lot, but I know when I see two rings, it means blood and guts. So, I mean, even I'm much of a veteran where I can understand what's about to happen at that point. I did not see, have any, like, anger last night? Do we have anybody going off script, going into business for themselves, or really taking control?
You know, well, I'll tell you this. There was a chair shot that you would be proud of. If you look it up, you'll be really excited about that. And then, it was worked, brother. So I don't really know how much outrage is appropriate there. You got to put some eyes on it, though, Donnie. You know, it wasn't The Rock McFoley Royal Rumble, but it was pretty good.
Yeah. So there you go. Lining up on that point. Baseball coming up here. I do think Baltimore's a 12-10 start, which is so crazy. Like, usually we'd start the show and be like, hey, game's already over at this point. You got two games coming up. Mm-hmm. One at 12:05, San Diego, Washington. Not really in love with that game per se, but I really think, like, Baltimore, when I looked this morning, I didn't see the final lineups, but I think 7 of the 9 batters are going to be from the left-hand side. You got the worst pitcher on the card today on the mound for the Marlins. Like, you should be able to get some hits and RBIs out of that Baltimore lineup today, no doubt. But you got a game, two games at 12 o'clock, one game at 1 o'clock, one game at 2 o'clock, a game at 3 and then another game at 4 o'clock here before two late games tonight. So it's a short card, but I love the fact that they're stacking it in the afternoon today. But you know what I mean? Like, I just see topics flowing through a football, and it just feels great at this point. Like, pretty soon we'll start to see some hits. You just hope, and we're already leaking out, Kevin. Like, maybe the Rams have already lost a starting cornerback for the season after, like, one practice. Like, you hate to see that, but you know it comes up. You just hope it's limited. But as you know as well as I do, over the next 30 days, you are going to get some stunning injuries that are going to pop up, and it's just part of the game.
Yeah. It is, but that's why I, when it comes to futures, and look, we get in-season injuries that change things, but I like to wait. Yeah. I do. You know, I know that people say, oh, you can get a number. That's great. What, no doubt about it. But for me, if a Rams starting cornerback being out is going to make a difference to a defense that lost Aaron Donald this offseason. I'm telling you, I'm going to set in that this guy, okay, is not playing football this year until like week 7. What's he on the pup? There's another thing too, Donnie. I mean, listen, I know I'm going to take us out here. I mean, what is the pup? I don't understand it anymore. I see about 800 guys get put on the pup. I used to think that would mean you're out 4 weeks. I think that would mean you're out 6 weeks. I have no clue how long. Now look at this. Now look at this here. I mean, get eyes on that at all, DRS. I mean, come
on, right
man.
Now.
You're trying to
big in there.
Trying to trip me up on the way out. That's the size difference. If you ever see Donnie and I in person. That's how it looks. It doesn't feel right that I'm closing out this money line, but have no fear. Donnie will close it out tomorrow. He'll open it up tomorrow. So make sure you're right back here, SiriusXM, Channel 159. Ben Stevens up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.